You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Merely Bo, the great Z. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. I'm
hey,
great.
You and I inadvertently have similar shirts.
I know. That's why I took my vest off
that?
To really
You and I are usually hoodies
that.
Or
yeah,
quarter zips. This is a rarity for both of us.
This is one of the best pieces of brown
But I do like that.
The inside is very much a fleece.
Let me get my mitts on that. Oh, it's a warm.
It's a warm,
up against
soft.
Your skin.
Oh, it feels
really
great.
Is like a blanket. Especially on a brisk day like this.
Yeah.
Pure suck.
Absolutely. By the way, and then I see it's supposed to be like temperature wise nice this weekend, and then pouring rain. It's great. Thanks.
Is April the worst of the months in retrospect?
I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of March.
No, but I think March we've grown accustomed to know that that's what it is. We keep waiting for April to deliver. March showers, April flowers. Nah, just rain.
I don't know if that's exactly.
I don't think that's right.
Is that not right?
April showers, May flowers.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. That sucks.
Agreed. Or we could just live somewhere.
Depends on where you live, and then it's sunshine all then you get the
just,
yeah, you get it all the time. Flowers
no
all the
showers.
Time. April showers, May flowers. Sad. Yeah. This is awful.
Yeah, it's not
the
fun.
Amount of rain.
It's not fun. I got to do something pretty cool last night though that I'd like to run.
Yeah, my pen out.
Run by you. Maybe not as cool as, you know, some other things that other people got to do that were wonderful for their self-esteem. But I got to interview Dennis Leary.
So I'm excited about this. So he when I think about like the comedians or people I found funny when I was younger and still do to this day, he is on a very short list along with Eddie Murphy with Raw and Delirious. And then I loved Dennis Miller when he was on the Weekend
Dennis
Update.
Was
he was my guy.
Unreal.
I loved him. It was 1,000 miles an hour, and Leary was in that group of people that I just found infinitely funny anytime they did anything. And I've consumed. I haven't seen him do much in a while. So when you were set that you were going to do this, I was excited. And then it got me thinking. Like the last thing I remember him in was Rescue Me.
Yes.
Obviously, he was in Draft Day, which is why you're talking to him. But he was an all-timer. So how did it go?
It's awesome. We were supposed to talk for like 5 minutes. We ended up talking for about like 24.
Let's go.
And he was just having, I felt like he was having a great time. We were having a great time talking sports. I brought up the ads. He loved that. So thank you to you for that.
Yeah.
The ads with Bo. And I said, how about a remake with Nick Chubb, you know?
Yeah.
Nick Chubb's out here with his big bad legs squatting 475. What are you doing with your health? He's like watching commercials.
Right.
So I gave him that little run through it. He laughed at that. He was just great. Talked about the draft day experience, talked about just sports in general. He has a great affinity for Cleveland and the Browns and was so pumped when Ivan Reitman told him that it was going to be the Browns because originally it was going to be the Bills, and then it became the Browns. And I was talking with Ricky afterwards because Ricky was on the Zoom with Lily as well. Like, that was great. Like, it felt like I was just kind of chopping it up with somebody who I had obviously a very high regard for, who – could not have been more personable. He was busting on Ricky a little bit because Ricky had his Emmy out, and it turns out that I guess Dennis has been nominated many times but never won one, and he made about 3 jokes about the Emmy being out there on display.
That is true. Yeah, he was up at Rescue Me, I think, a lot.
Yeah, and we talked about his foundation and all the good stuff he does for firefighters.
Right.
He was just a cool guy. He talked about Belichick, what Belichick told him about Cleveland, and it was – it like flew by like 20 minutes. I was like,
that's so cool.
Whoa. And it was funny. So I did 2 interviews yesterday, one with Leary and one with the president of the Greater Cleveland Film Commission.
Okay.
And both times, like normally when you start an interview, you go, you know, very happy to be joined by actor, blah, 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 Dennis Leary.
Whomever, yeah.
Yeah, whomever. So both of them asked me before we started, okay, so kind of what, can you walk me through kind of what we're going to talk about?
Okay.
And so I was like, sure.
Yep.
This, you know, for draft day, your thoughts on Cleveland, if you still root for Cleveland, talk about your foundations a little bit, you know, what it was like making the movie. And then both of them, after I kind of just answered their question by running through, started answering what would have been the first question or what they thought was the best. And then it, you didn't want to be like, okay, actually, no, stop, let me. So we just rolled with it. So the interview kind of started by them just opening up into an answer because they had asked me, walk me through what we're going to talk about. So I did. But then they just started giving an answer without the beginning of a formal interview.
So, wow, that's a tough spot.
Well, yeah.
It ended up working out great.
Totally.
But it's one of those things where the same thing happened to me with Richard Lewis when I interviewed Richie Lewis once, and I ended up talking for like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was a similar thing where we called him, we put him on air. He thought we were on air right away.
Right.
And so he went.
Yep.
And I was like, whoa, we're actually haven't been recording that.
Yeah, we're not on air yet.
I'm just trying to make sure it's you. Like,
yeah.
I just called a number. I just want to make sure this is Richard Lewis.
Yeah.
Obviously was immediately, but I couldn't get him to stop so that I could say, whoa, let's.
Right.
Can we all? It was all hilarious. Like, right out of the gates, he was shot out of a cannon. But I'm like, so we ended up putting all of that on. That's interesting because. When you are interviewed, do you ever ask anybody what they are going to talk to you about?
No.
Same. Never. Like, whatever. Wherever you want to go, I'm cool. We're good.
Yeah.
In fact, in many instances, I will go out of my way not to know. Whatever. Let's go. You take it wherever you want, man. I'm ready.
Yeah.
So they both asked for what are we going to, and then went.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And what I try to do is at one point just kind of work in, you know, so that you could maybe edit it so that I worked in.
Yes.
Like, yeah, so happy to be talking with Dennis Leary.
There you go, draft smart. Day, Big 10, B.
Yeah, and then so that I kept it flowing in the conversation. But, yeah, it was funny. I'm like, oh, I guess we're going. I guess we're going. Sometimes, you know, you do that. And sometimes with a player, when it's in person, you can say, you know, like, hold on. We haven't started yet. And
yeah.
And then you can go. But then we just went. And I got to tell you. I was a big Dennis Leary fan as well, like you.
Mm-hmm.
I just came out of it thinking, what a just an awesome guy. Like, he was so happy to just kind of shoot the breeze, talk sports, talk Browns. You know, he's a Patriots and a Packers fan. Told the story of how he became a Packers fan because the Patriots were so bad they got to pick. They each picked one team that was not.
Non-AFC or something, yeah.
And so he took the Packers. His brother took the Baltimore Colts, which he said his selection has worked out much better for him.
Much better, yeah.
And, yeah, he was just – honestly, he was great. He loved making the movie. He talked about being here and being in the building and a lot of things. And so I think this is going to be a part of some of our draft coverage that we're going to have some of this on our Browns Countdown show on News 5 Thursday and then potentially on the radio as well. But, like, I looked down and it was – you know, we started talking at 7 and it was 7:25. And I'm like, wow.
That's the least surprising thing of all time, though. Because, and we talked about this, and for the kids out there, that when you are, if you ever get to a point where you have a platform and you have an ability to reach people, and it's just very critical that you just have a conversation.
Totally.
And with a conversation comes listening
critical.
To what they're saying. That's
Dan
important.
Dan Patrick, rule number one.
That is. You have to listen to what is being said. And so the least surprising thing ever, like him, who is who comes across very authentic in everything that he does, and then such as yourself, who's a large B, would be able to have a very good conversation. So I was just looking at his
– He was awesome, dude. Like, you would – I think you would have had – if we had
– I had a ball.
Been able to do it together, you would have had a tremendous time.
So the last – so he – my kids know him from Ice Age.
Yep.
Because he's huge in that. He's the Sabretooth in Ice Age, and he's very, very funny. For me, like, Rescue Me was something I watched, the FX series. So that predated, like, Sons of Anarchy and Justified. That was on around the same time as The Shield.
Yep.
And it coincided with, like, this movement of writing about television. So there would be episodic reviews of Rescue Me. So you'd watch the show, and that now that's very common.
Totally.
but that was a part of it. So I definitely remember that. He actually looks like he's got a new one coming out. No Good Deed, where he will play Mikey. There's an 8-episode. Yeah, there you go. Oh, Ray Romano in it, Linda Cardellini, and Dennis Leary. So that is forthcoming.
There you go.
What is the significance of draft day? Is this an anniversary?
10th
anniversary.
Can you believe it? 10th anniversary.
I didn't see it in theaters. I didn't see it until I moved up here.
I was going to say, you probably weren't here at that time.
No, I was not. I didn't move up here till 15. And so I didn't see it in real time. It felt like one of those things that would be very difficult to execute. That premise and make it something that would be interesting to people outside of our world.
He talked about that, how you're doing something that is fictional but based on reality, and so you have to try to be good with that. And he said he loved going out there with the fans, and you know, they would pretend to be talking about the fake draft picks, and then as soon as the cameras, the real draft picks that were coming up, which he thought was pretty cool.
So did they film it around this time of year?
So they filmed it in 13, but yeah, around this time of year, I think in 13.
Okay.
And then it was released.
So I didn't see it till I moved up here. I was very skeptical going into it because I thought, how can you possibly execute this? And yes, there's some farcical stuff, but just from a pure entertainment, like I guarantee you that it would be something that, and I can't remember if there's anything that my kids couldn't see or not. I don't believe that there is. Off the top of mind, I can't think of. I've only seen it one time.
Miss K's in it. She's got a cameo.
Miss K's got a cameo? Yeah. I'll have to look for that. But it felt like something like our whole family could watch and enjoy.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. It was fun.
Let's see how I'm seeing.
They did a good job, too, with like the real bouncing back and forth between of it and then a fictional.
So that's her right there.
Look at her.
And then there's Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, that's
great. Coming in at the draft party.
So.
Pretty sure Greg Rush
is in there. Look at her.
Yeah.
Look at Miss K there. This is when I watched it with my kids, I was pointing out, oh, there's our guys.
Yeah.
These are our guys. But like you wouldn't know that, you know, without. So
of course.
Yeah. That's fun. That is very cool. So that's going to air in the draft coverage?
I believe so.
All right.
I believe
Will we be able to repurpose it on this show at some point, I would hope?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's hope that we can get that done. Where the hell is the head honcho? What's he doing?
Boys, what's he doing?
Have you seen him?
He's got special projects, working on an interview right now.
That's been going on for 45 minutes.
Yes, they were waiting for said individual for a while. So,
is it happening? Is the interview in progress?
Is he conducting?
No. So why does he need to be there?
Sure. No conducting.
I have no idea if it's even started yet.
No conducting. Waiting on interview during our program.
That he's
the head honcho of.
Yeah. Outrageous.
If he's not conducting the interview, is it imperative that he is there for the interview to be conducted?
It doesn't.
That's above my pay grade.
I've never felt that it was necessary to have him lurking while I conducted an interview.
But you're a large B. Is the person conducting
equal? Pedman.
It's Pedman?
Yeah.
Oh, then he's just palling around.
Yeah,
that's all that is.
There was a lot of palling around going on.
That's just palling around is all that is.
We're trying to run
a
show.
We're doing a live program, and he's palling around. Yeah, he's... Yeah, Pedman, you know, he's good. Safe. Come on, Gibby.
Uno, are you able to stand up?
I can.
I'd like an arrow down for Gibby.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
I think it's warranted. I think it's justified.
I could not agree with you more.
I mean, this is no time for palling around. This is the draft begins tomorrow. Not for us. But the draft begins tomorrow. So you've got that going on.
We do. What was I? What I had something else that I wanted to run by you.
What is that?
I gotta find it.
Mm-mm-mm. Do you want to talk about?
Oh, I know what it is. I want to read you. I'm just gonna read for you.
While you're looking for, can I tell you about a mock draft that just came out? It's the first mock draft I've seen that does not have Caleb Williams going in the first round.
So there's a guy out there right now who doesn't get much wrong, who speaks nothing but truth always. No fabrication.
It's an alpha draft.
I'm guessing it's an alpha draft guy. That's my guess.
He's not even in the first round.
Not even. Why would he be?
In fact, he's not in the second round.
Undraftable.
He's undrafted. Caleb Williams goes undrafted. And it's the most accurate. It has historically been the most accurate mock draft that we've had. So
yeah.
If I'm Caleb Williams, I'm a little nervous.
I would be very nervous having seen this. All right. This is a I'm just going to read it to you straight. This is a headline.
Shoot me straight, brother.
This is in the Wall Street Journal, okay?
Okay.
Wall Street Journal headline on their social. Several of the king's horses and a few of his men sparked chaos on London streets when members of the household's cavalry lost their mounts. It is accompanied by this photograph of these two fine steeds running down the streets.
All the king's horses and all the king's men?
Look at this.
Humpty Dumpty?
It's a black stallion and a white stallion. The white stallion appears to have blood all over the front of it.
I hope not, because that doesn't look great.
It looks, well, I don't think it's him, because he's running very unencumbered. So I don't know that it's his blood, but I guess anyway, I hope not blood is the correct answer.
By the way, that is a large,
it's a lot of blood.
Splattering.
It's a big, big, big bunch of blood, yes. If it is blood. Or it could be paint. Could be paint. Maybe it's, my guess is it's some sort of King Jubilee nonsense.
Okay.
Is probably what it is. I would just want to run this by you.
Please.
Is this one of the few examples in the history of the world where a headline written in the year 2024 could also have been scribed in the year 1624, and both would apply? Several of the king's horses and a few of his men sparked chaos on London streets when members of the household cavalry lost their mounts.
I think you can even go back. I think this is good for 1,000 years.
1,000 years, you can write that. And it could have been chaos at any point.
I think you might go back further than that.
When was the first printed press? When was the first newspaper? Who was the first? That's what. It. However far that is, accurate.
So the first castle ever built in England, which is, that's what I'm going to think about, feudal lords and horses, is 1067. Berkhamsted Castle.
Okay.
So I think, so we're talking, I think we've got, we're 2024. I think we're talking about a thousand years, brother.
1,000 years that could have been.
Headline
so
could have been
pre like
apropos.
Eight, because I think first, isn't the, I think this is right. I think the first, I'm trying to think, like the first print journalism may have been here in like the 1800s. But where is the, so like at that time it would have been like a guy yelling. You know, like the town yeller guy saying, hey, the king's horses are on the loose. Avoid London Square. The cavalry.
1605, the German language relation Aller Firmen und Gurkwanken historian.
You said it,
from
brother.
1605 onwards is commonly accepted to have been the first newspaper.
Okay. So there you go.
So now we're
there's your first shot of it.
Yep.
Second question I have for you. What type of world do these people live in where they're still, where he still has a cavalry, the mounts can be thrown, and they can run down the streets? Why does the man have a cavalry? What good would that do in modern warfare, with all respect to horses?
It's a
ceremonial
cavalry.
Sure, but how silly.
By the way, people have been riding horses for 5,000 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Ancient nomads from the Eurasian steppe may have been the earliest people to ride horses, archaeological evidence suggests. So This is something that could have been the king's horses.
Yeah,
causing chaos,
5, running them up.
5,000 years.
5,000 years in play today in London.
That's wild. Yeah, I mean, it's ceremonial. It reminds me of the stories that you get when like bear escapes zoo and it's running through a neighborhood.
Right,
bear running through a neighborhood probably would have. That's been around a long time.
Hey, look out! There's a bear, and then also a headline.
Yeah.
All right, I have one more for you.
I like that
and
one.
Isn't that great?
A great deal.
Isn't that fun?
No, it was.
All right, here's another one for you. This was something I saw right before as I was making my way over here today.
Okay.
And it is, make sure I, where is it? Come on, get there.
Do it.
All right. Airlines will now be required to give automatic cash refunds for canceled or delayed flights. It's done.
No way.
The gig is up. The Associated Press. Yeah.
Well, we know that's weighty.
White House signed it into law.
Good.
Tweaking the rules on airline fees and refunds. Airlines will now be required to give automatic cash refunds for canceled and delayed flights. Good.
Good.
About damn time.
You
a little
what?
Bit of accountability
you
in that industry.
Happen? There are going to be a lot fewer delayed and canceled flights.
Yeah, there are.
For the nonsense reasons.
Especially the canceled.
You can't do anything about
it. No, you can't do anything about that. But the canceled.
Yeah.
The delayed for nonsense? No. Keep it moving, baby. And that's what it should be. Finally, some accountability.
Good. Now, you hope that that will.
What's their workaround?
The airlines? I don't know if there is going to be one. I think this feels like pretty good. it doesn't help you in a situation, for example, what I need as well is you need to be rebooked within 24 hours or then they have to give you your money back. You know what I mean? If it's canceled, I want another going to Disney. It would have been great if they gave me my money back, but that didn't solve the problem at all. Getting me there was more important to me than getting my money back because I'd bought, you know, a good fare. That's the other thing. What it should cover for, what it really should be is they should be on the hook for if there's another airline to get you down there, they should be required to, back in the day they call it, it's called fimming. They should fim you to the other airline immediately.
That was common practices.
Common practice.
If you got bumped, something happened to you, oh, but I can get you on a flight on American.
Yes.
And you walk over there.
It's flying Delta. It's here. Now you got to go to American. Sure.
And that's it. Fine. Okay. That's good. So that all stopped, what did you say, 5-10 years ago, probably?
It kind of, so when I was consulting back in the day, I actually worked with two airlines, Delta and Northwest. And that was common practice, but they were starting to trying to phase that out. So that would have been early 2000s. So my guess is that's probably been out of practice for 10, 15 years. I don't remember the last time was when an airline put me onto another airline.
You might be right. It might have been more like 20 years ago that they were doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at these power brokers out there.
The most power. That guy. He's ready to go. Taking a look at the weather out there. Some interesting news out of the college football world today as well. Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back. There he is.
There he is.
That guy, very
Reggie, I
Reggie
love that.
Gets his Heisman back.
Good. Yeah. Good.
I had a guy tweet me this morning and say, in 1991, I got a ticket for going 65 miles an hour on 315, which goes right through Columbus, and it was a 50-mile-an-hour zone. It's now a 65-mile-an-hour zone. Can I get my money back?
No.
No. That's different.
The
one's
law
a law.
At the time.
Law at the yes. time versus the opinions of a trust.
Yes. Right.
But they cited a gross change in the way that the sport is played now and the rules of which it plays under as a reason for giving him Heisman back.
It was
very contentious.
He earned it.
Yeah. It was very contentious right around the Heisman Trophy celebration last year where he was threatening lawsuit to get it back. I never understood why he gave it to begin with.
I just was
like, if they came to the house, they'd say, yeah, not home.
I'd say, come and get it.
Yeah. I'm good. You're good. You're safe.
Yeah. Like, what was the – it was a game – you want it? Come and take it.
Come and take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that it is – whenever they do that, for example, Reggie Bush, or if they nullify a championship that was won and they say, no, you didn't win it because of some rules violation, unless that rules violation was so egregious that it changed the competitive nature of what was at stake, I think those are ridiculous. Oh, they vacated their title because
that's
of
like
some nonsense.
What you just described is the difference between they want to say it was the 50s, CCNY, National Championship in Basketball, but they were on the take, and so that was gone. However,
fair.
Louisville has vacated a national championship, I want to say, in 2012.
Recently, yeah.
Recently, for impermissible stuff that was happening in terms of paying players and that type of stuff at that time. That does not affect in any way
how they played basketball,
how the games were played.
Correct.
Right? In an era, by the way, when everyone was doing it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they
to
did
me, that's
that
ridiculous.
Some of these quotes, we talked about this a little bit yesterday in regard to the Oilers with the use of Columbia Blue. It's pretty interesting, these quotes. This is from Cal McNair. We worked with the NFL and there was some push and shove and we came to where we could get to with the NFL giving us a compromise, sort of a certain percentage of the uniform. And I think our fans would like more. And we're probably in that same boat, but we're working with the powers that be in the league and all that stuff to get to where we could get. Then his wife,
so
Hannah.
They were allowed a percentage of the uniform
percentage
to be
of
that blue?
To be that blue. She
like
said
the numbers would have gone over that percentage?
Apparently. I think there was some talk. I think even publicly we discussed that we were going to be able to use a different color than Columbia Blue. So when that was released and we got approval to do that, that's when we started getting to a point where they just said, no, you can't, and then we compromised.
So they know that. So I'll give them a pass. And that uniform is not the uniform,
that's not the uniform they intended
to create.
No, they had to, on the pivot on the fly.
Absolute nonsense.
Some absurd thing that allows for the Adams family to have the rights to all palettes of navy of light blue in Houston is nuts.
Nuts.
This is Florio's writing. The situation traces the fact that when the Oilers left Houston, Houston made no effort to retain their names, logos, or colors. So the Oilers took their logos and colors, ditched them for the Titans, and now use the Oilers as a throwback, even though it makes zero geographical sense to be the Oilers and a Tennessee property. It is a stunning amount of power to say that you can trademark a shade of blue and all of its remotely close shades.
It's absurd. It reminds me of that scene in Big Lebowski. It says, and having a marmot inside city limits. That ain't legal either, dude. This is not legal. This should not be legal.
It's crazy, but it sounds like the McNairs didn't want to fight. NFL wasn't going to fight the Adams family. It is so petty.
So they're mad. So this, in my mind, what I'm hearing is they're mad that the city of Houston didn't offer them some monetary figure
probably
at the time to purchase those historical
marks
from them.
Yeah.
And they're so mad about that. Like, what could that money have been, first of all?
In those days, in the early 90s?
Right. A couple thousand?
Right.
10,000?
Right.
So what's the problem?
Yeah. So petty.
Like, tell McNair, okay, you give
it. It's the biggest spite store that's ever been bought or built.
Give us $1 million. Okay.
Yeah. Fine.
So what I'm understanding here is a white helmet that featured very little of that blue on it, just as much as is on that H, because you could have put the Texans logo outline that's on the shoulder of that current H10
yes.
one. So that wouldn't have been any more on the helmet.
No.
The face mask you could have done blue, and numbers, just numbers on a white jersey and some striping was too
over
much.
The board. Overboard.
That is.
Because on the jersey it's only piping.
I would honestly.
Which honestly it makes them look more like the Titans than the Oilers.
This is one of those cases where it should be like, I'm sorry, no, you're not.
One should have stood up and said, this is absurd.
That's
what you're doing.
Raj
should have said, no, this is ridiculous.
If I get to interview Raj again, I'm going to ask him.
Good.
I'm going to say, we're being robbed.
Even if it's off air.
Yeah, off
air. Just for you and I. You don't have to tell it to the audience.
Yeah.
But
how can we not stop them from.
Right.
I almost, if I'm them, I would have just punted on it, wanted to do this. We were not allowed to.
Yeah.
We are going to fight for it. And when we are able to do it, which we are convinced we will be able to at some point, then we will unveil these H-Town. Because those are their fourth best uniforms out of four by
a decent
margin.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably would have been the better way to do it. Like, put all of the public pressure on the Adams family and the Titans. You have it. It's your fault. We can't do it. When you bend, then you're going to get the uniform. Other than the NFL and lean on them. Because you're right. To launch a half-assed uniform is what it looks like.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But the red is great.
Yeah.
And actually, the white and the blue, I like them all. I like their whole their uniform.
The white one I think is really nice. And I think the red one is really nice too. So, it was just amazing.
If it is true that Robert Kraft called and basically blackballed Bill Belichick from getting a coaching job, if that is in fact true,
yeah,
which the reporting would lead you to believe from both sides that it isn't, there's unbelievable. You would think people that make it to a certain status would be like, water off a duck's back, brother.
Yeah. We're all winning. I got a new stadium in Nashville. It's a dome. It's beautiful. State of the art. I've won. I get this blossoming market all to myself.
And my guess is that there's probably some animosity between not only the Adams family and Houston, but probably vice versa as well. And so what better way to be like, here, you know what? Goodwill, when you see these uniforms now, you'll think, oh, yeah, we made this right.
So – yes, agreed. And in the end, doesn't the Adams family win?
Totally.
So they got Nashville first before anybody else does it.
Yep.
It's one of the fastest growing markets in this country. It's not as big as Houston. I get it. Houston, obviously, fast moving too and fast growing. But would they have had any of the things that the Texans had if they stayed in Houston? No, probably not.
Probably not.
But entirely different. And instead, they get gifted a new market.
Which
personally,
a brand new stadium.
I'd rather live in Nashville than Houston.
Of course.
It feels like they've won.
Yes. They have. That's what I'm saying. Come on.
Yeah. Just wild. Why? The biggest spite store ever. It might very well be.
It is. It makes Latte Larry's look like kindergarten.
It really does. Baby stuff alongside of what she's doing. Those are your hot topics of the day. The NFL draft is tomorrow. Latest news around the league coming up. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Dumbest Billy Joel, Ron Stewart together the first time ever. It's Friday, September 13th. It's in Cleveland Browns Stadium. The tickets are on sale now. I'm going to tell you, you go to clevelandbrownstadium.com/billionrod2024 for more information.
Billionrod 2024. I loved when I got to do that from JW.
That was fun. He loved it. He was very excited. Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together for one night only. You have a query?
I have an important tweet, yes. Yep. From Enough from the Clown. And this is to give you an idea of Enough from the Clown's credibility. Yep. Yes, this is his tweet from yesterday.
Okay.
I think she had two very good ones. Quarter Zipgate, outrageous. We live in a society. Well done. The second one was, as usual, the best topic on the show is the show itself. Browns Daily first segment rundown. Quarter Zipgate, Bo Bishop and the blonde incident at home.
Yeah.
Uno chokes and flag championships. Lack of
hurtful,
strategy,
by the way. I saw that.
We know this is a credible. This is somebody who is serious and certainly somebody to be taken seriously. 1 minute ago, Enough from the Clown says, first, Gibbe pretends he can't get home from Florida to do his job on the show. Now he's MIA while Browns Daily is going on with little or no reason to be absent. Outrageous. This should be a double down arrow for
two arrows.
Yep. You know what? We agree. Uno.
Double down. Two down arrows.
Look, he's already gone again. He came back in and out.
Where'd he go now? He's not in there now?
Oh, there he is. Oh!
Hey, Gibbe, was it take your nephew to work day? Did you have to help somebody conduct an interview? That's what the boys said. They said that you had to help somebody. So it was somebody who doesn't know how to connect it.
Bring a kid to work day?
That's what I was curious. Yeah. Bring a nephew to work day? Like somebody not capable, so you had to hold hands to interview someone
as intimidating as
Wyatt Teller?
How do you facilitate an interview as a second person who has neither the mic nor the recorder?
Oh, if it's a small child
you could say,
who needs help, little Timmy.
Little Timmy, ask him.
Ask him this one, little Timmy.
A gator.
Is that where you were? You were doing that while the show started?
Are we done? Are we done?
I'm curious. We're curious.
Yeah, I know. I want to respond, but I'm busy. All right. You know.
You're busy?
Zagura
is killing Mr. Ed over here, beating the dead horse.
No, I don't think so.
I read somebody else's tweet.
Where were you?
So, number one, we're taping interviews for our draft shows this weekend. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interviews.
Okay. Certain player was on the field till almost 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So, at 12:50, I'm like, we only have one window to do this.
Yep.
Is the people that facilitate the interviews in the building are all in a mandatory meeting, which left to be the facilitator and to go get the player.
So you had to physically, and then you must have had to physically get him to leave too. Like once, so you interview, and then to take him back because Wyatt doesn't know his way around.
We had to find a space for the interview to be conducted.
Okay, but then
the interview happens. Why are you still there?
I'm just standing outside the room waiting for it to be done.
Support.
It was 10 minutes.
Was that emotional support?
Emotional support.
Yes.
Yes.
For your nephew. Is that part true?
Sure. Great. Kind of actually looks like him. My nephew might be bigger.
We missed you.
We did.
We just missed you because we started the show.
I know.
The three of us, and to a lesser extent, these two, are very keenly aware that this show's 1-3. We are the only ones in the building that are.
I was going to say, showing up a half hour into the show starting is akin to dropping news
after
the show ends. I mean, it's basically like one and the same.
I figured I would get up here and segment one would just be wrapping up.
It was.
It was.
So I think I had that.
You're welcome. Right. You're welcome.
You're welcome on that. That we're here to help you.
Enormous.
Help everybody on that.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
All good. And
all right, good to see you.
There's a big TV that's not exactly. I'll move that for tomorrow.
We're not worried about it. Nobody so you're okay. can see it on camera.
It's over there.
I just think that we should be given really a medal for 30 minutes from huge news in college football.
I'm shocked you didn't ask for another day off in exchange for this.
And the NA.
We did it.
Did you see how he can't even.
Well, you know, the real hitch isn't even that. The real hitch is 150. Which, if we didn't do the 30-minute,
right. it doesn't even exist.
There's nothing.
Yeah, unbelievable. Nothing.
Luckily, we did it. We did it. By the way,
I do appreciate an update on the horse.
We had a horse incident in London.
Yeah.
That we talked about, and yeah. Nana had an update.
Said,
so go ahead.
Unfortunately, a horse was struck by a car, and that was indeed blood.
So the horse that was running was struck a car,
which feels like that
would
be bad for the
car. Or was another
maybe it was
horse
another one? And
oh God. I don't want that.
No. Nana says Gibbe deserves everything that we're giving him right now.
You know what I would like? It would be funny for Nana to take, like, all of her, like, animus of your treatment of her one son and to have her verbally attack you. I think it would be fun.
She can.
I feel like she'd be ready and willing
if
that ever happened. Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
We'll welcome it. Like, yeah, okay.
Good. We've had my dad on the show. He's lost trials, and now maybe
his trial.
It'll be like Gibbe will be on trial, and Nana will win. Nana will be the prosecution.
We had him on for.
I'm not exactly going to go after the official Nana of the show.
No, she's going to go after you.
I don't like aggressive. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I think I'm a bigger human than to go after the Nana.
You're not a bigger human to go after her son relentlessly.
Well, to relentlessly pursue the son.
Yeah. You've only got an hour and 10 more minutes of work today.
Here we go. Funny. So, but at least you know what? And my job says be here and work from 1 to 3 at a high level. And I'm fulfilling it. Here I am. Yours says the same. And yet you were gone for 30 minutes. It's 25.
What does high level?
What does
elite.
High level does?
Elite.
It's this. Soak this in with your eyes and your ears. And then that is the answer. This is a high level.
That is the high level.
Soak that in.
We're
high level.
We're giant bees.
Yeah, here. I know we definitely need this because.
Non-existent pee in this case.
Yeah. Watch this. Watch.
Gone.
I don't know.
Uno. Where'd it go?
Did Uno have you covered? Did Griff have you covered?
Well, unfortunately, there was a TriCaster issue that was not their fault. And
no, it was
so
not.
No,
that's
there
true.
Was no audio at the beginning of the program. Things were frozen. Very sad.
Very
true.
Sad.
The
sad
official
experience.
Nana. This is an update from the official Nana. You want to hear what she said? She's in for the no sound at the start of CBD. Sad.
She wrote sad?
Yeah. V sad. Yeah.
That's amazing. That is amazing. We have some news around the league.
Coming at me. I'm in here doing interviews at 7 o'clock at night.
You're crushing
night,
with stars.
Just, yeah. Yeah. Stars hobnobbing. And
hey,
whatnot.
When is that? We talked about the Leary interview. When does that? Do you know when that's gonna?
We should
on your coverage. Do you know
it for us?
Yes.
No.
After the fact,
we're working on it.
Well, it will air at some point, right? On the radio network or something.
Yes.
Okay, because we talked about it, and you know there was an excitement.
That sounds like destination listening on May 6th
for sure. But I you know with the timeliness of all of it,
yeah.
So that was good. All right, we have some news around the league. He's fine. He'll do fine. Fifth-year options picked up for Patrick Surtain and Ja'Marr Chase, not for Justin Fields. Neither of the Steelers' two quarterbacks are under contract for next year.
Right, because had you done that, not only are you paying him $5.5 million this year, you would have been paying him a pretty good amount next year, guaranteed.
In the 20s,
fully guaranteed,
right?
In the 20s.
Right. No.
And you don't even know if he's your starter. And apparently, talking to some people around the league that would be in the know.
Yeah.
You and I have just got to let that ship sail, brother. We can't even be worried about it. Can't be worried about it. I'm still worried about it.
Well, because it's hard for me to believe. I was talking to one of the PFF guys earlier this week about it, and they said it doesn't make sense what's happened to him because he threw accurately on time at Ohio State a lot.
Yeah.
And I understand that their skill position talent makes it look better than it is, but we've studied as much film as we do. And there's no reason to believe that this wouldn't have worked in the NFL.
My guess is the reason is he was probably more of a see it, throw it in college, and you can be. You can still make that one read. You can see it, be open, throw it.
Maybe.
And in the NFL, that is
no time.
That doesn't happen that often.
No. Yeah. So anyway, it's interesting what they're going to do because so this was kind of what I was thinking with them when you weren't going to pick it up. They really need to get a look at both of them. The Steelers.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, they're both going to play meaningful snaps next year. They have to get a look at both of them.
I think that Russ is going to be the day one starter.
Agreed.
I think that if they're winning, they're not going to do that. But if they are not, then I think you would kind of have a quick hook there. Because Russ, if he's not the present, he certainly is not the future.
No, no.
Because the thing is with Fields, you need to see him do it on the field in games.
Yes.
It doesn't really matter. Oh, well, he was great in the classroom. By the way, remember, Mitch Trubisky was so great in the classroom. He was so great behind Josh Allen that he was able to get himself like a $10 million contract. But then guess what? He can't play.
Correct.
In games. So yes. Does it matter that he was a great backup?
No.
No.
No. You see this video that the Bears tweeted out showing their plans for the new Soldier Field in the what they're doing on the lakefront. $4.6 billion is the price tag on this baby.
If they're spending
50-50. It's 50-50. Them is what they're hoping for is half them, half taxes. The video is awfully impressive. Like, it shows the colonnades from the old Soldier Stadium. It basically looks like the Viking Stadium, honestly. Like, it's open-ended on one end.
And it's a dome.
Of course it's a dome.
Yes.
It's got all the – I mean, it's beautiful. Like, open end shows up to downtown.
It's gorgeous.
Downtown Chicago. They talk about Final Fours, Super Bowls, Big Ten Championship games, all of the things that you and I have talked about, provided we were able to get one done here. They're saying – the quote from Kevin Warren – I'm not crazy about. How many people would love to come to a Super Bowl in Chicago? Everyone. This is an ideal location. The video is awfully impressive. The 4.6, a lot of it has to do with real estate on the lake in Chicago being quite expensive, would be my guess.
Yep.
And getting anything done there would be tough.
Have they said what they believe, when they believe this will be ready?
I don't know that there's that yet because this hasn't been approved yet. We don't know we don't know that the city... Or I don't know if it's city or state or how they're going to fund it. I know it's a 50-50 is what they're hoping for.
So Wednesday press conference this afternoon.
It's beautiful. And I hope that – I think at some point the time will come when we share certain things that are similar to this, and I think people are going to be quite pleased.
Yeah. So the venue itself is projected to cost between $2.5 and $3 billion. With perhaps another $1 billion going towards roads and infrastructure improvements.
That's so cool how they keep the
original
Soldier
Field. The Bears have pledged $2 billion toward the effort.
And they were saying upwards of 4.6 is what they're looking at. Because you guys have been there. That's a tight area. That Lakeshore Boulevard, there's not a lot of room.
No.
I mean, it's tight. It's the perfect place for it.
Yes.
I mean, the landscape, and you think of the Chicago Bears, that's what you think of.
So this is interesting. There have been talks about a potential, quote, financing partnership with the Chicago White Sox, in which both teams would take a more collaborative approach to help ensure their respective efforts to build new stadiums get done.
Okay, so
that didn't work in Kansas City.
It didn't, and also I don't think that the Bears would want the Sox pulling them down at all.
No, that is an albatross.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I think there's only one person I know who's a White Sox fan in the history of my life. I've only met one.
I'll tell you something, and if they didn't have the great idea to go lean into the colors –
Oh, yeah.
And to use Old English on the Sox.
Old English, black and silver.
Because that hat became...
To the back of my White Sox hat, yeah.
Everybody.
I had one in middle school. I had
a
White Sox.
Of course, how could you not?
You had to. Yeah, I mean, that was the
hat
to wear.
Yes.
Well, the Bears might win more games than the White Sox, so that's also another problem.
Well, that's a good joke
Uno,
out of
burn.
You, Uno. Straight burn. That's right there. But
and
when they built...
He wasn't full zest.
You did? You said you had no... You weren't full zest?
I didn't... Griff said I wasn't looking full zest. Sometimes I just don't have it all. I don't have all my zest.
Oh, no. I
Source
think you're,
tells
you
me
got
he's
a lot
still
of, taking, plenty
he's
of zest.
He's taking the flag football loss hard.
When they went from old Comiskey to new Comiskey in the early 90s, there was a movement to move them into downtown Chicago that fell flat, and then they built new Comiskey. Now, the problem is they built new Comiskey, and then a year later Camden Yards opened, and everyone went, oh, that's what you should build.
Yep.
And then immediately it was outdated. Like within a year it was outdated.
What was it? Last week there was a video out. There were like 400 people in the stands for a White Sox game.
No, that's it. There's nothing charming about it. There's nothing.
You have to take your life in your hands to go to
it. Yeah, no, you're not going down there.
It's a win if you get in unscathed.
Correct. And yet they've won a World Series. What, like 05 or 6, something like that?
05, yeah.
05, yeah. They've won a World Series in my lifetime. So there is that.
Who the heck was on that team? Frank Thomas?
Ozzie Guillen was the manager.
Mark Burley was their
Paul
ace.
Paul Konerko.
Krasinski. Konerko.
Yeah.
Konerko.
Yeah, that would probably be my guess.
Twin. Was he
I think Frank had already retired.
The Big Hurt?
I think he was old at that point. I don't know if he contributed that much.
He played for both the Blue Jays and the A's like late in his career, but maybe he came back to the Sox. But he was a two-time MVP.
Yes.
Frank Thomas was the Big Hurt. All right, we will wrap up some of the other contract stuff going on around the league coming up next. Just to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be sure to check out the Browns social media channels daily to play the Browns Digital Scratch-Up game for your chance to win club seats and other great prizes. Presented by the Ohio Lottery, the official lottery of your Cleveland Browns. Couple other notes. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4 years, 120, 77 guaranteed on that one.
He deserves it. I mean, the guy is phenomenal, and he was very complimentary of his quarterback, Jared Goff, saying that he deserves to get a contract as well. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's what we have to hope to find, right? That's I think it was a fourth-round receiver out of USC.
We took a receiver ahead of him.
Anthony Schwartz?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Different skill sets. I understand if you're looking for something, but nonetheless,
no, I know. Yeah.
He is phenomenal. Well-earned, deserved, all of it. I think it's a good signing. The Lions are a fun team. They got great unis. They're fun to root for. A Lions-Browns Super Bowl would be a ton of fun, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, last year, 119 catches, 15, 15, and 10. First-team All-Pro. He's been a Pro Bowler each of the last two seasons, back-to-back over 1,100 yards. He's a good guy's a good player.
He's a damn good player, and so he gets done. Right now, Justin Jefferson is not done.
Yep.
Brandon Ayuk, someone was, I think it was.
Ayuk's not. I mean, he's good.
No, I'm not putting him in that category. This was a conversation. I just heard somebody with this. Siciliano was on radio in San Francisco, and he said that he felt that the people he did the hit with were convinced that they could trade Ayuk in the next 2 days, that the Niners could trade him, so that they were pretty confident of that. So that potentially could be out there. T. Higgins is going nowhere, according to people I talked to in Cincinnati today. And then the Jamar Chase deal will have to be done at some point. He gets a fifth-year option, clearly. But then when does that deal take place? And the hard thing is like with Higgins and Ayuk and those type of guys, who if you trade for them, you then have to pay them.
Yeah.
Whereas in the first round and second round of this draft, there is a bunch of really great receiving talent. But I do think we've been lulled to think that all of them are great, and they're not all great.
Correct. All right, so Debo, base salary this year is $20 million. Guaranteed is $8.6 million. If they were to cut Debo post-June 1, they would save $17 million. So there's $11 million guaranteed to Debo Samuel this year. So they're not locked into him at all.
No.
So that's interesting to me because I just think at this point, if you had to choose one of the – if you said – I can only have one of those two. I think you would rather have Ayuk.
I would too, from a skill set standpoint, also from a health standpoint.
Health standpoint.
An ability to stay on the field. I mean, that stuff matters.
Debo is, let's just look, I'm going to see how age wise. I don't think it's that close.
He's young, isn't he, still?
Debo is going to turn 29 at the end of the season. He's 28 and 100 days old.
Round and round then.
And then Ayuk is. So he's a full 2 years younger as well. 26. He will not turn 27 until after the season. He just his birthday was March 17th, just his birthday. So it seems like an odd. It just seems odd to me. If they're adamant about it, maybe they got scores that obviously we don't have out here. I'd be sad that my father, you know, would fail with his boots on the ground approach to have these kind of scores for me. But
yeah,
it would just surprise me, honestly. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense.
I agree. I'm very curious to see what happens with this next receiving talent. I do wonder if whatever Jefferson gets paid, will that ever be approached again?
It's a good question.
Or will that be the ceiling and then it reverts? Because it feels like you're headed to that point. And the crazy thing about Minnesota is, does it even make sense for them to pay him based on their roster? It does, because he's unbelievable. But at the same time, like, they're not going anywhere.
Well, unless they
you know what I mean?
Unless they trade for Justin Herbert, like it's being reported.
So you're saying Harbaugh? Who's reporting that? That Harbaugh starts over?
Antonio Brown News Network.
Oh,
they're like,
well.
They're like tripling down. Real.
He's had an eventful week. Darren Waller and his wife, Kelsey Plum, getting a divorce.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown was quick to, by the way, at one point somebody on this program said there's only one AB in the AFC North and referred to him.
Even though he was
not you nor I, mind you.
And even though he was
not even in the division
at the
time of it.
He was a member of the Raiders
that
organization.
Did happen.
Did happen.
And I would like to see our looks on our faces. Would have been fun to think how that would have looked.
I'm sure it was there.
All
was
three
on
of
Zoom.
Us were on Zoom, I remember.
So, yeah, our faces were.
You and I were
on
in our
screen.
Studio areas, and the other was on a boat.
A boat.
I believe.
A docked boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. There you go. All right. Coming up next, get a little view of some of these prospects. The Athletics' Bruce Feldman going to join the program coming up next. You'll see Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, second hour of the program, Cleveland Browns Daily. Bo and Nathan with you here on a First Friday edition. Time to head out on the Twisted Tea Hotline, brought to you by Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea, official sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Keep it twisted, Cleveland. The Athletics' Bruce Feldman joins us on the program. His latest, one of my favorite things to read in advance of the draft every year, his NFL Draft Confidential. He talks to coaches, scouts. What do they think of the prospects? Bruce, thank you so much for taking the time. Let's jump right in at the top, because quarterbacks are going to dominate the first few picks. Did you find a consensus at that position? And if indeed it is Caleb Williams, how big is the difference between him and those that will follow?
It's Caleb. There is definitely some hesitation on him. As much as he's exceptionally talented, nobody questions his talent. I think what the concerns with Caleb are most, there's a lot of habits he's picked up, especially at USC, where The one thing I heard in last season, which really stayed with me from a longtime NFL scout, was it looks like he's trying to hit a 5-run home run every play. And some of those things will not work in terms of, I can extend plays, I can make crazy throws. You have to throw on time. You have to operate from the pocket in the NFL. And there was a great line one of the talked to in the NFL last week, and he was like, Caleb has a lot of stuff that he's going to have to break in the NFL. He's like, that's part of what you love about him. Those are great plays in college, but not when Myles Garrett is rushing you, you know?
Right.
And that's the challenge of like those things. Then there's the other piece of it, which is, is his personality, how is it going to play in a locker room with teammates? You know, he's really one of the first, probably the first, high-profile NIL transfer player who is in a major media market. And so it was very different in how he came up in the college space compared to what guys did 10 years ago. It's not to say he can't, thrive in the NFL, but I think there's some stuff that people are going to be very mindful of. And, you know, we did a story over the weekend coming off of some of the stuff I'd heard with our Chicago Bears writer, just about, is the Bears, like, kind of, for lack of a better term, QB ecosystem, the other quarterbacks who are going to be around him all the time, the offensive coordinator, is this the best situation to rein him in, but also to develop him and have him learn on the fly? I mean, he's got really good receivers around him now, but is everything else going to be optimum? Because, you know, as great as Patrick Mahomes is, when he came into the league, he sat for a year, and the guy he sat behind was Alex Smith, who was a really well-respected himself first pick of the draft. And then on top of it, he had Andy Reid running the show. There's no Alex Smith sitting there with him for a year that he can learn from observing, and there's definitely no Andy Reid running the show in Chicago.
Right, and that's the question, how he can perform. And they did, look, they got him some weapons, DJ Moore. They go out and get Keenan Allen as well. He bring in that DeAndre Swift in the backfield. So they've got weapons if he can go. It sounds, though, like he was the number one, but Jaden Daniels is a lot closer than maybe some people realize, and it sounds like some scouts think that he might even be a safer pick. Is he definitely locked in at that number two spot?
I don't know if he's definitely, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't go there. One of the coaches I spoke to was like, his arm isn't as good as Caleb's. You worry a little bit about him throwing outside, you know, outside the numbers, but he goes through his progressions. People really like his demeanor, his temperament. He developed so much as a passer in his 2 years at LSU, especially last year. And he's a terrific athlete. He's not a Lamar Jackson in terms of, he's not as strong a runner, but he will run away from people. And he ran away from some really fast people in the SEC. And one of the quarterback coaches I spoke to was like, I'm more confident in him than I would be if I had to have Caleb, just because he likes the temperament, likes the personality, likes the growth and development that he's had.
You know, one of the hardest things about quarterbacks, and I'm hearing you talk about Jaden Daniels, and he threw to two first-round receivers, right? Drake May did not. Caleb Williams did not this year. He had Addison last year. But I think of the Ohio State quarterbacks and how difficult they are to try to make sense of, because typically their receivers are so much better than the majority of the players that they are throwing to, or that are trying to defend them, rather. When you talk to scouts and the coaches that you talk to, how do they weigh that?
It's definitely a factor. I mean, I remember last year, I'm glad you brought up, you know, indirectly, CJ. One of the quarterback coaches I spoke to said, you know, in his career at Ohio State, he may have thrown to four number one receivers, because there's no team that he will go to that will have that many elite receivers. You know, you're talking about, and Marvin Harrison Jr. So there's a good chance Marvin, he may or may not be the first receiver taken, but he's probably going to be a top 10 pick, maybe even a top 5 pick. Last year, the first receiver off the board, even though it went number 20, was Jackson Smith and Jigba. That was obviously another guy that CJ threw to. And there were guys earlier in his career at Ohio State, and Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, who were already really good NFL receivers. I mean, it's crazy the level of talent that's there that you're working with. And again, I think there is something to be said for that. I mean, look, the one who's even a trickier, kind of eval is J.J. McCarthy. I mean, his probably best prospect of all the guys he was thrown to was a tight end who will probably be in next year's draft, Colston Loveland. So it was his best receiver by far outside. I mean, Roman will probably go somewhere in the second or third round, but he's a smaller receiver who's fast, and that was the extent of it. Now, he had a really good offensive line. He had a great offensive line where, you know, Drake May did not have a great offensive line. And Drake May is the hardest evaluation, I think, of all these guys, because he didn't transfer like the other guys, most of the other guys did. But he went from first couple of years, he played in a version of the air raid with Phil Longo, who's now the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin. And then Longo left, and now he had to learn a different system. And so people see, you know, what they think is sloppy footwork that's all over the place, and a guy who, you know, never looked like he was that settled. And I think they love his personality, they love his arm talent, but there's a lot of stuff that they're like, okay, he's the guy that may take the most time to develop of these first-round quarterbacks.
after the top two, and you've mentioned some of the guys, J.J. McCarthy, it feels like there could be trades up, people come up and get them. What's kind of the consensus on, you know, J.J., on May, Knicks, and then Mike?
I don't think there is a consensus. To me, from talking to coaches and scouts, Drake May is the most polarizing. Okay. For the reasons I had said, he cleaned up some stuff that appeared at his pro day, but it's a pro day. You're supposed to look really good at that. But people loved him in the interviews. People really like JJ in the interviews. JJ, you know, he's a terrific athlete. He obviously won a ton of football games. He's really football smart. On tape, people worry he overstrides and everything was kind of a flat ball. And in the NFL, you really have to throw over guys and throw around guys and be able to take something off. And that's something that, you know, one of the coaches I talked to who's been in the league for 20 years said, that concerns me about JJ. And he was a little down on him. Penix, I think from the people I talked to, both, and I did a mock draft a month ago where that is based off talking to the coaches who played him. I had one defensive coordinator who played all the Pac-12 guys and said, you know, as good as Caleb throws it, Michael Penix Jr. has the best arm talent of this group. I mean, it's that impressive. And he made a lot of big-time throws. But again, Penix thrown to three NFL receivers. Obviously, Odunze is one everybody knows. The other two guys, people think will play in the NFL for 10 years too. So, but he made a lot of big, tough throws. It wasn't like he put up stats with empty calories where they were just dumping off and let the back run or anything like that. You know, with his, the concern is the durability piece. But there are people I know who think Michael Penix Jr. can be a elite NFL passer. And it wouldn't surprise me if he goes to the Raiders as high as, you know, in 13. And will somebody trade up? I'd be surprised if he fell out of the first round. I know people have pause that he had, you know, Indiana when he was, before he got to Washington, he had four season-ending injuries. But his film is really impressive. And even when people watched him work out, they're like, okay, this guy can really run. He just hasn't had to show it when he was at Washington when they did, you know, he didn't have to take any sacks.
Talking with Bruce Feldman, The Athletic, one of the best in the business, his annual NFL Draft Confidential out now at The Athletic. Bruce, Marvin Harrison Jr., I think from the time he caught three touchdowns in the Rose Bowl, was kind of designated as the best receiver in this class. He was that 2 years ago. People said he would have been the first receiver if there was one available. And now all of a sudden this year, coming off of his third season at Ohio State, there's a lot of chatter that perhaps he's not even the best receiver in this class. What do you make of the way that people view Harrison? And is it something he didn't do, or is it what neighbors did do?
Great question. I think it's a combination of those two things, of something he didn't do, which is he didn't test, and what neighbors did. If you ask me, I think Marvin's the closest thing to a sure thing in the draft. He's got good size. He is plenty athletic. He is really strong. He's the most polished. He's the most complete of all the receivers that Ohio State has produced, which is an insane amount of talent, especially under Brian Hartline, the receivers coach there. I think he is the best of the bunch. Now, he didn't test, but when I talked to the Ohio State strength and condition guys, they were like, he ran 23.5 miles per hour, which is flying. The coaches I talked to in the NFL were like, yeah, he's fast, but he doesn't look that fast. And they think he's closer to a 4.5 guy than a 4.35 guy. They still really love him. But I was surprised. The receivers coaches I talked to in the NFL were more excited about Malik Nabers. He is the guy that was on at least the guys I've talked to, number one on their board, because he is so explosive and he is so good with the ball in his hands, and they are kind of blown away by his potential. I still would, if it was up to me, I would probably lean towards, I think Marvin's a safer pick, and I think Marvin will still be a great player. You know, neighbors to them, I think they see a little Tyreek Hill. I think they see, you know, they see the best in certain guys. He's not a small guy, and he's not as big as Odunze or Marvin, but he's a legit 6 feet, 200 pounds. And I mean, he can fly. But I don't want to say he's the boom or bust guy, but I feel like Marvin is still the safer guy. But it would not at all surprise me, based on what I heard from these coaches, that the neighbors may go higher than him. I don't think it'll happen, but it wouldn't surprise me now.
When you look at the wide receiver talent in this draft, you talk about the potential that, you know, four or five quarterbacks could go. It sounds like it is an offensive draft dream in many cases. Some good tackles as well in the first round. Do you think this draft breaks the record and has at least 20 offensive players taken in the first round?
I think it could because of what you also said. The tackles, the offensive line haul is very good. It's not to the degree of the receivers, but the receivers, you know, Brian Thomas will probably be the fourth one from LSU. He's a big, fast kid. You have the two guys at Texas who can both fly. You have a few other guys in there that could end up in the, you know, 25 to 32 range, depending on going through. Joe Alt from Notre Dame is an elite offensive tackle. Fashanu from Penn State is very talented. You got one guy from Oregon State, another from Washington, who are both guys who are good physical, you know, bruising right tackles who could also play guard. There's a few other guys potentially who are in there who have look like they could be down the road, you know, high level starters in the NFL. You got Brock Bowers, certainly is a, you know, he's a unique kind of piece. He's not a traditional tight end. He's more of a F, but he is a special player. So I would think there's a good chance, and it's not a great draft on the D line. I mean, a Dallas Turner, I think, will go high. Latu from UCLA will go pretty high. You have some inside guys who are explosive, depending on, you know, what the team needs scheme wise, where they fit. But to me, it's so slanted on the defense, on the offensive side. I could see, you know, as many as like 22 or 23 offensive players going.
Talking with Bruce Feldman. And Bruce, you know, from the Browns' perspective, no first-round pick, so we won't get to participate in that historic, potentially offensive run in the first round. But they do pick in the second round. It does feel like there are some positions of depth. You mentioned tackle. You mentioned receiver. Now, defensive tackle might not be that deep, but it does feel like maybe some opportunity there in round two. Anybody here kind of hear about in that second-round range that would maybe make some sense at one of those positions?
Yeah, I mean they're pretty late in the second round. I don't know. I assume Ladd McConkey from Georgia will probably be gone. Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of durability concerns with him, you know, back issue wise, from what I've heard. But he tested really well. He's a really, really he's the best route runner in this draft. I think there's some other guys. Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky gets compared to Debo a lot because. Yep. You know, he's built like a running back, and he's so good after the catch, and there's a lot of stuff you can do with him. I think he's another one to, you know, to keep an eye on. You know, I think the receiver group is so good that I think they can grab somebody there even late in that area. You know, and then all of a sudden you're starting to look at, okay, there's guys maybe in the offensive line group that are like, okay, I think this guy – he's probably not going to be around, but, you know, does Zach Frazier fall further from West Virginia, who's a guy that people like, but is probably strictly a center as opposed to, you know, Graham Barton's not going to fall out of the first round, but he's somebody who can play all across the O-line. But it's just like, okay, what exactly are we looking for the guy we think is the best center? Or are we looking for a guy who has a lot of, you know, position flexibility? I mean, I also think there's a bunch of that in the secondary as well. Like, it's not a great draft for DBs, but there's a lot of corners in this draft who people think can be starters at some point in the NFL. You may be able to get somebody in the third or fourth round like that.
Talking to the great Bruce Feldman, I'll get you out of here on this one. This is an NFL show, but at the same time, you are one of the preeminent voices on college football over the last couple of decades. Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back. What did you make of that?
By the way, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You know, I think this was long overdue. Like, just having covered college football for a long time, I think if you had everybody be honest who has won a Heisman would be in the Heisman ceremony, all the, you know, the ones who are usually standing behind the stage, said, did you get compensated way above and beyond what the NCAA was allowing at the time? I bet you more than a half dozen of them would go, of course I did. You know, and Reggie Bush was the one who got caught. And the biggest reason why Reggie got caught is usually with the NCAA system, the way it's set up, the way people get caught is if somebody was aggrieved or somebody felt like they got screwed over. Well, boosters are the ones who are usually paying under the table for players, and they're never, with the exception of the Nevin Shapiro story at Miami, and he wasn't like somebody went to Miami, they're never going to rat out their own school at the expense of hurting their own school. In the case of Reggie Bush, you know, there was somebody in the, you know, in the agent space or the marketing space or whatever who felt like they got wronged. And so they went and you know, basically turned over a lot of stuff to the NCAA, and the NCAA was looking to get at USC, and they got at USC through Reggie Bush. The truth is, Reggie Bush is one of the most iconic players, at least of my era covering college football, because we've seen the highlights. I mean, he was a spectacular player on a great team. You know, like Barry Sanders was remarkable, but like we didn't, it came along a little bit of a different era. I mean, Johnny Rogers is certainly older than me. I've seen a little, the grainy footage, but with Reggie, we saw all of it. You know, he was one of the first like kind of YouTubeable college football superstars. And I think because of that, he became a little larger than life. And, you know, somebody who worked with him and knew how, I would say, bruised he was by the stigma of he was the one who got, you know, people figured took down USC and ended that run. I think that was really hard for him. And probably still hard for him. So I'm happy for Reggie, and I think it was long overdue.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Bruce, great stuff as always. Thank you for taking the time with us today. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Bruce Feldman with The Athletic. His piece, 2024 NFL Draft Confidential, is a must-read leading up to the draft. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And Bo here for my team at Renew Home Exteriors. It's time to update the exterior of your home. You know that it is. You're tired of that same old vinyl siding. Upgrade to the future with Renew Home Exteriors composite clad siding during the spring siding sale. Composite not only outshines vinyl, but it comes in 20 vibrant, maintenance-free colors to suit your style in your home. Imagine a stunning exterior without the hassle. Renew Home Exteriors will take care of you with the composite clad siding. Renew Home Exteriors, superior products and superior service. RenewEstimate.com for more. Did you see Belichick's going to be a regular on the Mannings?
Of course, and he's going to be great.
Here's what I ask.
He's personality Bill now.
I have one request for the Manning brothers. No shtick. I don't want every week him picture of him looking at Peyton. I don't want him saying, what do you think of Peyton's big head? Can we just talk ball when he's on? Do the hijinks with the other people.
Good luck.
Just talk ball. That's all I want with him and them.
Listen.
You would have access to, I think, one of the things that I think is surprising to me when you first started to get around people who played in the league was the almost universal respect and acknowledgement that Peyton Manning was the smartest person they ever played against ever. Like, I would not have thought it would have been that overwhelming. But when you talk to people who played at that era, they say Manning was diabolical when it came to his mind. So you have access to two of the smartest people who have ever been involved in the sport. Don't a little nonsense, have some fun, but please talk a little ball.
This is what they need to remember, that is, if you change the I into an A in the first name of Belichick, it's ball.
That's right. That is right. It is.
So just keep it simple. Bill Ball.
Yeah.
Bill's
and he'll
here,
like
ball,
it. He'll be personality plus now.
Oh, he's That's why, and we have a prop coming up that I'm all over Belichick.
We'll get into that.
We're allowed to be.
This will be very, very exciting. Yeah. Before we do that, though, time for your Griff Fact of the Day.
Let's go. Fact of the day, fact of the day, fact of the day. It's the Griff Fact of the Day.
If Caleb Williams is first off the board, as he is expected to be tomorrow, Lincoln Riley will become the first college football head coach in the Common Draft era to produce 3 number one overall picks. It would also give USC the most number one overall picks in the history of the draft. They're currently tied with Georgia, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma with 5.
You know what's so interesting about that, and it would be incredible to have 3 number ones, but as I was reading through some of the stuff here from Bruce Feldman, who we had on earlier, this is what one of the quarterback coaches says. I like Caleb as a player, but the locker room part of it concerns me. I don't know him from a can of paint from what I've heard, what I've seen watching interviews. He's going to have to understand the difference in where he's at and how he's been treated to being the quarterback in an NFL locker room. That system is one that when they get to the NFL, they really actually have to learn football like Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
You can win a Heisman and do all that stuff. In the NFL, you have to know protections, responsibilities, run game, and managing the game. There are no layups, like all the quick screens and bubble passes and all that other stuff that boosts up your completion percentage because those plays are taken away. But I would still take him high. You just have to hope your team and staff can mentorship and can support him. But that's, to me, when you're talking about Lincoln Riley, 3 number ones, Kyler and Baker, they need to learn football when they get to the NFL. So it is not, they are not ready made in that sense.
Have you ever seen a Lincoln Riley play sheet?
No.
So I've taken a standard piece of paper.
You're folding it in half lengthwise.
Yep.
And then again.
That's it. On one side.
It's not even as good as my pregame notes, brother.
Oh, no, not copious.
Produces
it's this
Heisman,
big.
So.
He holds it. It's this big. And that's it. And that's the way that it operates. So that's.
Maybe it has 1,000 numbers on it, that, and each number is a play, and he just has that so memorized.
It could very well be. But he does not have
the
a
tradition.
Playbook or a even like to have, like, the, you know, Stefanski got that big sheet.
Yeah.
The laminated sheet.
Right.
Doesn't even
that's
have that.
Your first and first, tens, your
this,
second
this,
and middle.
None of it. Yeah. It's a piece of paper that big.
Interesting.
That's how he rolls.
That's all interesting.
Right. Some props, some fun props. We'll get into that coming up next. Listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Very happy now to be joined by Browns in-game host, and perhaps more importantly, Barking Backers Ambassador Bridget Linton. Bridget, thanks for being with us here today.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the Barking Backers?
I know. You think of Cleveland Browns, you think of all the fans, and yes, we're the dog pound, but we also have the Barking Backers organization, which is for dogs, actual dogs, not humans.
My dog is a member.
Good for you.
That's right.
You know, I tell people about this, and like, I'm backers. I'm like, well, you need to sign your dog up. But even though I've talked to people that have not signed up yet, it is the largest dog club of any professional sport. We already have 20,000 members that have signed up, but we're trying to make it bigger and better each and every year. So there's 2 different membership packages. There's the free one, which is amazing. You can still get weekly newsletters. You can get invites to some of the in-person events. But the premium package.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah. This is what you're going to get for your dog.
I'm a premium member because I've seen this before.
Oh, yeah.
So there we go.
So you know all about all the goodies in there.
Oh, my. When we brought that home, our dog was just like Asa Woody. She was all over sniffing it, open it. She couldn't get enough of it because there are some treats in there. You better believe it.
Yeah, and it's special thanks to our partners that have helped make the Barking Backer such a huge success. Milkbone, we have Embrace Pet Insurance and Pet Supplies Plus. So there's some Milkbone treats in here. We've got a cute little handkerchief for your dog.
Oh, that's
some
right.
toys in there. So yeah, if you sign up for this premium membership package by June 1st, you'll get an official invite to our in-person event at Cleveland Brown Stadium. It's called Turf and Tails. So you can let your pup run around Cleveland Brown Stadium right where the players play every Sunday, where me and you are there too, working on game days. So it'll be really, really fun.
Yeah, there are a lot of premium events. You can get Turf and Tails. That's in June of 2024.
Yep.
Halloween in October of 2024. And Smooches and Pooches.
So cute.
February 2025. So join up for this premium level. I think you'll enjoy it. Your dog will enjoy it. What I love about this too is that not only is it bringing Browns fans together, getting their dogs involved, who are family members, as we know that, but members donated over $16,000 to Canine Assistance last year, a dog-centric philanthropic organization. So it's doing good as well.
Exactly. And I don't know if you brought your dog to Halloween, but
but I'm going to have to.
Quite the event. People get very into it. The owners dress up. They dress up with their pets. It's super cute.
Are there a lot of matching owner?
Oh, yeah. A lot of matching owner to their dog.
Yeah.
And I mean, after all, you know, we are the dog pound, so it makes sense to get your actual dogs involved as well. So, yeah, if you, again, if if you sign up by June 1st, you'll get invited to that June 7th event, Turfs and Tails.
And this could not happen again. As you mentioned earlier, the partners, yeah. J.M. Smucker Company, Embrace Pet Insurance, and, of course, Pet Supplies Plus. But if people want to get involved, or, I mean, how could they not at this point? No, they want to go sign up. What do they have to do?
BarkingBackers.com. Super easy. It's all you have to do. Sign your pup up, and you'll be good to go, and you'll be an official member of the Barking Backers.
Well, we certainly hope to see all of you and your dogs at these great premium Barking Backers events. Again, that's BarkingBackers.com. Sign up today.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Compelling and rich. Let's have a little fun. NFL draft. Tamari, Uno, do you have some props?
I do.
Uno.
Uno. Uno with some props. Give me. Give me. I like it.
Uno can do this if he wants. I mean,
I just saw him there.
The four of you have been working it all day. So.
No.
So much so that my Twitter's been blowing up. So thanks, everyone, for that. Yeah, I got like 100 notifications.
The clown was on you. You got to accept some tough coaching. Enough with the clown wants you to be the best you can be.
Well, I've also, because of the posts that have been happening and your retweet, I've got like 7 new followers. And
way to go.
Good. Tagged up and down. So that's fun.
People helping people, brother.
That's it. That's the way to do it. That is absolutely the way to do it. So, Gibbe, what do we got? You going to have a little fun here? This is what we're up to. Why don't you tell me what you want to do? Why don't you just tell me what movie that when Kramer was doing Movie Phone? Well, why don't you just tell me the movie you'd like to see?
We'll do
press
some
one
props
for
from the NFL
channel
draft.
Press two. Remember that? So great. Oh, he's Dr. Evil or Mini-Me. Is that Dr. Evil or Mini-Me?
I think it's Dr. Evil. Uno, did you see this? You've made it. You've been Browns therapied, Uno. It's a big day for you.
Yeah, he wants me to send a new photo because he's only got the one from our stream. So
he wants a clean.
Going to have to get that updated
for
him.
If you give him full access, you're going to win.
Do it.
You're going to win. Yeah, look at how, I mean, Gebe won because now we have Nana smacking him, which
yes,
is fun.
Which is amazing.
It's great. It's very good. Pedro's involved from time to time. Everybody wins.
Everybody's in there.
Yeah. All right. All right, go ahead.
Which of these things will happen first during the broadcast? We get a smile from Nick Saban or a smile from Bill Belichick?
Belichick. Easy. Belichick is in full charm mode. Belichick is also looking for another job. I think
yes.
Saban is in full charm mode too, but Saban's spending time in Jupiter, Florida. He built that compound down there. He's having the time of his life. He's not worried about doing anything. He actually went to the Alabama spring game and sat in a suite as Kalen DeBoer coached Alabama. Can you imagine
unreal
that? Like God watching you
watching
build
over
a planet.
Your shoulder.
So look, I think it's Belichick. I think Belichick's going to do a blitz media tour over the next year, including the Manning cast, to show how personable he can be, how likable he can be, and how I can coach the modern player.
My only concern is when is Belichick on? Like Saban's part of like the desk right from the beginning. And
okay,
he's
so
on the ABC coverage.
Oh, then he'll smile right
away.
But if you're saying like if there was some way to gauge which one is charming faster.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Belichick will win that for sure.
Belichick.
Saban is going to be very, I think he'll be very buttoned up to start. I mean, he'll have some fun, but he'll be very buttoned up.
Yep.
Also, like, I don't know, even in the Saban-Belichick doc, was that HBO that did it, or was that a 30 for 30 where they did Saban and Belichick? I can't remember. It was pretty good, but they did it actually at Saban's house is where they recorded it in Tuscaloosa. But even in that, Belichick was much more at ease. Really, in my limited interaction with him, I've never seen him at ease.
Yeah.
Will Jim Harbaugh
going full? This is I'm rewriting the narrative
yes
of who I am as a human being.
Look how charming I can be.
Well, I'm great. Yep. Yes, 100%.
Harbaugh drafting a player from Michigan. That's Jim Harbaugh. Yes or no?
100%.
Yes.
Lock. I'd bet anything on it.
Lock.
I mean, it could be any one of these guys. I just think for him, if it's – and I don't even know that this is like maize and blue-colored glasses, but like These are really talented players.
Yes.
If you are in the draft and it's the devil you know or the devil you don't, you take the devil you know.
Absolutely.
And he's going to go with the guy that he knows who they are. So, yeah, absolutely, and I don't blame him.
The primary color of Caleb Williams' nail polish, orange, white, pink, blue, or green?
I'm going to say none.
I don't care.
None of the above.
I don't even care.
I think he goes a buff. I think he gets a buff manicure.
Natural.
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 Yep. He's going to get drafted by the Chicago Bears.
So he could
he's
go.
Read everything that's been said about him. He knows how he's viewed. He knows the city he's being drafted to. He obviously has an ego. Did you see his house that he or his apartment rather, his high rise he was living in Los Angeles?
No.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. He's making $3-4 million a year playing college football the last couple of years. So he's done quite well for himself. So I think he will be very understated, reserved. I think he's been coached up. I think he'll handle the circumstances just fine.
Yep.
So none of the above. Buff nail polish.
How many trades will there be in round one, over, under 5.5?
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a big
what'd
number.
You say?
I went under.
Yeah, I'll do the same.
I feel like the end of the first round could get real interesting.
Well, that would depend if there was a quarterback who falls, right? Because that's usually what happens. If
a quarterback a wide receiver falls, is there.
Yeah. If let's say Bo Nix pops in the back is still there. Penix could fall to the second anyway. But let's say Bo Nix falls in the 20s. Then does somebody race up to try to get him? That type of thing. It could that could be a Sean Payton move there for Nix. Nix is very accurate and led college football in completion percentage last year. So could you see a scenario where they go in that direction? Maybe with the late would they trade back in? They have no assets though. That's a problem for them.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under, though. I think it's going to be under. Do you guys think that there,
a big number.
It is. Do you think that there will be a trade in the first three picks?
No.
Do you think there will be a trade in the first four?
Yes.
So you think
first
Arizona's
five,
trading?
First five, for sure. I think first five, for sure. Arizona or the Chargers will trade.
Yeah.
With somebody coming up for a quarterback.
Yeah. It's so funny. Everybody keeps saying, like, the Chargers have to trade at five. And, like,
no, they don't.
I don't know why they do. You do not have receiving talent. It's gone.
And
you can get an elite player. You're either going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. Whichever. Why would you not? Don't overthink it. Just get a dude for Herbert to throw to on a rookie deal.
You just lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Now, they drafted the guy out of TCU in the first round last year, but he was ready to take over a big role. Yeah.
Which, if any, of these players will be traded first during the NFL draft? Brandon Ayuk, Alvin Kamara, Cortland Sutton, DeAndre Hopkins, T. Higgins, or A.J. Brown?
Well, the only one that I think has a chance is Ayuk. Maybe.
I mean, there's no market for Kamara. I'd say Sutton, maybe. I don't get why they would trade Ayuk, so I hope that doesn't happen.
Not much of a market for Hopkins.
No.
It seems like the Bengals are locked into Higgins. They're just going to play it out. Is what they're going to do.
Yep. Why would A.J. Brown be on the trade block?
I don't know. Ayuk seemed to be the only one in that instance. Oh, did you guys see this, by the way? We were speaking of T. Higgins, that the Bengals and what's happening down there with their stadium situation?
No.
So their lease runs up in 2026. Now it has five consecutive rolling over 2-year lease thing, so it really doesn't run up until 2036 if the team wants it to. But the Bengals want an improvement on their current situation. They've leased the stadium from the city. The city's saying to itself, you ought to pay us a lot more for this lease. And it speaks to what happened. There aren't many of these circumstances left, but the Brown family, while worth a lot, not liquid in that sense.
Right.
Right? So my hunch is their inability to write a check to go do all of the stadium or some of the stadium on their own if they were trying to put big money into the renovations would be relatively limited.
Yes, that would.
And it's brutal, that situation.
It's the worst.
Is it the worst for you guys other than D.C., right?
I mean, from a site standpoint, sight lines are good.
Oh, it's a beautiful location right there in downtown. Yeah. Like, that's all very cool. But
it's just terrible.
It's just a
concrete monstrosity.
It is a concrete monster.
Yeah. It's funny.
That one, Washington. Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But Jacksonville at least has the pools and, like, a big scoreboard.
At least you're in Florida.
And you're Florida. Yeah.
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 The old one in San Diego was awful.
Well, Oakland too, right? I mean, that was, even that was near and dear to your heart.
It was very near and dear to my heart.
Yeah,
that was.
He never got to go there as a broadcaster.
True.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say, wait a second.
True.
Loves it. Loves it.
I was there many times as a fan. Saw many a wonderful, wonderful Oakland Athletics victory. By the way, seeing them this past weekend, it's like beautiful. It's just sad. It's
absurd.
Over. It's absurd.
Yeah.
I'm getting one.
It's absolutely absurd.
One of the jerseys before they go.
Well, they're still going to be the Athletics.
Yeah, but
it's
going to
be the Vegas A's. They're going to keep the same uniforms. Don't you think?
Hopefully.
For sure, but it's not. Well, they're not going to have the Oakland.
No.
Road.
No. That's true. It'll just say Athletics.
Yeah, I want to get one. Before
I wonder if they put
move,
Vegas on it or
cool
if they put
jerseys.
Athletics. They are clean. It's a very, very clean look. There was something the way those was with Ricky Henderson's neon green Easton gloves, Mizuno gloves.
Those were
the neon green were so pristine.
What a time that was!
It's a great time to be alive. So much more to come. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Was it 2 years ago when the draft was here? Or three?
21, right? It was coming out
3 years
COVID.
Ago?
Yeah.
Was that, do you remember that day was Rodgers is out? I want out.
Yeah.
Do you think we will have something tomorrow in the lead up to this draft?
That exciting?
Not that exciting, but do you think there will be? I don't even know what that would be. Would that be like Dak Prescott is out? What would that be now? Rodgers is a better player than Prescott, but I'm just trying to think of a quarterback who could be.
The only thing that I thought could make big enough news would be like if the punishments got handed down on like if the Falcons got stripped of picks or someone like that. But that's not happening now this week.
No, so, and I would allow that anyway. This would have to, because he wouldn't want that to override the draft. Like this would have to be a player-driven thing, player or team-driven thing that would where they're like, no, we're done, and it gets leaked out. You know, I don't even know what the equivalent it would be. Dak was the only thing that came to mind, just because they feel like that team's kind of in uncertainty.
Yeah, it would have to be right. Somebody being like, "I'm done."
Probably not.
No. It feels like that stuff would be. It'd be out like today.
Yeah, Rodgers was day up because
you're trying to give people time to digest it and then maybe make a move.
Make a move. I love the draft. Going to be a fun day tomorrow. No picks for us, not till Friday, but that's fine. We'll have a little fun with it. Level is coming up next. Thanks for listening. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.